Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's great to be with you on this Memorial Day 2006, my night. Second Memorial Day. As you know, folks, if it's a holiday, I'm on the air live. It doesn't matter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, it doesn't matter. I'm here. I always do my show live on the holidays. And I almost always do the show live anyway. As you know, very, very few days have I not done my show live, and in 8.5 years, you can count them. You won't need all your toes and fingers to count all the days that I have not done the show live, and over half of those I was out of the country. So we're pretty dedicated around here to what we do for you, and especially on Memorial Day. You know, folks, reasonable people disagree on the exact origins of what is now called Memorial Day, but most accept that the practice of decorating the graves of Americans who died defending their country began in earnest by the women of the South during and following the Civil War. On May 5, 1868, General John A. Logan, National Commander of the Army of the Republic, was the first to make Memorial Day official with General Order No. 11, which stated in part that, quote, the 30th day of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in the defense of their country, end quote. Since then, other than Congress making it a national holiday and changing the date to the last Monday in May, America has honored its fallen heroes from all conflicts in pretty much the same manner that General Logan anticipated with the language of his order, whereby, quote, posts and comrades will in their own way arrange such fitting services and testimonials of respect as circumstances may permit. When America issued its first call to arms, ladies and gentlemen, before it was a country, before there was a standing professional army, that call went to the militia, which was identified as all able-bodied men. Calling themselves the Minutemen, because they could be ready to fight in a minute's notice. They were primarily shopkeepers, craftsmen, farmers. Today, we would call them small business owners. From as far away as Scotland, America's Minutemen were impressive. Writing about the colony's quest for independence from England in his classic work, The Wealth of Nations, in Scotland, Adam Smith predicted America would prevail thanks to its militia, which turns from its primary citizen character into a standing armor. Standing army. And that's from a quote from Adam Smith. By the 20th century, state militias had become part of the National Guard. And by 1916, the Defense Act, the National Defense Act, created another layer of citizen soldiers, the reserves. Prior to the War of Spain, Latter-day Minutemen served only on American soil, but in 1898, including World Wars I, II, Korea, the war in Korea, the conflict in Korea, Vietnam, and now two Iraqi conflicts, America has deployed its citizen soldiers around the world, right alongside its regular armed forces. In Operation Iraqi Freedom, for example, the Guard and Reserve have averaged one-third of the U.S. forces, and alas, accounted for a comparable percentage of the casualties. Wherever they've been called, whenever they've been called, small business owners and their employees have left the marketplace to demonstrate their courage and die, if necessary, on the battlefield. So, ladies and gentlemen, Americans everywhere and people around the world, as we honor all who have paid the ultimate price in service to this country, Let's also remember the long tradition of America's small business volunteers. That great tradition to serve faithfully in harm's way on behalf of a grateful nation and many times a grateful world. Clearly, America could not exist, would not exist, or ultimately have endured without the sacrifice of those heroes who have turned from, and this is Adam Smith's language, those who turned from their primary citizen character into a standing army. Now, you know, folks, I graduated from college with a commission in the Army Reserve, and total time I spent 15 years in the uniform, and there was a time when in one unit that I was in, when I actually worked for a small business, there was a time when my unit, in terms of what we did, my unit was the most ready. It had the highest level of readiness of any unit in the entire Army. That's how much the Army, the United States Army, depends upon its reserves. It is not afraid to be dependent upon a reserve unit for a specialized capability. If the senior man in my military occupational specialty, when I commanded that unit, told me that when the Army needed a unit to do what my unit did, to be deployed to active duty, literally in 72-hour notice, that my phone would ring, and that we were the best unit in the Army, active and reserve, and we were reservists. We had jobs. But we were ready to go. And I only say that just because that's a personal story. I know about that one from personal experience. I was the commander of that unit. I got that message. I was prepared to take that call. But there are lots of other stories like that. There are so many other stories of Americans who are ready to serve, who are ready to jump at a minute's notice and serve wherever we were asked to serve. And ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the things, in my opinion, that makes America great. We've got a lot of wonderful human beings, a lot of wonderful citizens, a lot of wonderful patriots on active duty right now around the world. But we've got a lot of folks backing them up. And that's one of the things that makes America. Happy Memorial Day. We're going to take a quick back at the Blasting Game. The Small Business Advocate, stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much. Joining me today, my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do when you get there, including checking out our blog and the archives, the articles, lots of stuff there, and I hope you use it to your advantage. Contemplating the blessings of freedom wherever it may be found, one prime truth is evident. Freedom is not free. And for those of us who are the beneficiaries of those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom, the only method of repayment, the only way we can ever be worthy of their sacrifice, is if we do all we can to maintain the freedom that has been paid for and given to us was so precious a cost. And there's a little poem that I don't know the author's I don't know the author's name. I've wanted to know for a long time, and I've been reading this poem on Memorial Day for almost since the beginning of the show, way back in '97. I think this is maybe at least the seventh year that I've read this poem, but it's a very important poem, and I keep people keep writing me, telling me they don't know who it is either. But if you know who is the author of this poem, please tell me, because I want to give them attribution. It's not mine. That's the main thing I want you to know. The poem is called Freedom Isn't Free. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. With hair cut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in any crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years, how many died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears, how many pilots' planes shot down, how many died at sea, how many foxholes were soldiers' graves. No, freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler's play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen, when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children of the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. My friends, I pray that we never forget those who paid so dearly for our freedom. And that's a wonderful poem, and it's a very poignant poem. It's hard for me to read. It's hard for me to do that, to get through it all the way, because I know those men that the poet was writing about. I know some of those men, and I know, and I'm sure most of you do too. There's someone, a friend, a loved one. There are many of you listening right now who have family or friends in harm's way around the world, men and women, standing a post around the world. You know, for some reason, lately, it seems to me that maybe we've, even though the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, the efforts there have not been as much on the front page as they were for a while, we can never forget those brave young men and women who are standing a post in those foreign lands. And, you know, I keep coming back to the progress that's been made in this century, in the last half of this century, on behalf of freedom. I want to remind you that at the end of World War II, many democracies in the world, on planet Earth. Today, there are approximately 120. In the last 4 years alone, approximately 40 million people have been liberated from tyranny. And it's been tough. It's been hard fought. There have been a lot of casualties. There have been a number of new people that are being memorialized today on Memorial Day, who've given their life, who paid the ultimate sacrifice, and others there will be others to come, because freedom isn't free, ladies and gentlemen. And if we value our freedoms, one of the things I believe that we have an obligation to do is to help other people find their freedoms. And none of us will ever always agree with the efforts of the leadership of our nation. But one thing I think we can agree on is that America is lucky. America is blessed to have individuals like the men and women in our military who believe that there's a cause greater than themselves. And that cause is to serve their country, wherever their country asks them to go. And those are the people who are the heroes today. The people who we memorialize, those who have fallen, and we honor those who are still in harm's way. God bless them, ladies and gentlemen. God bless each and every one of them. And I hope you have a name of someone that you can pray for. And when you say their name, you're praying for all the others. Quick break. Right back with Gene Grassman right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. Happy Memorial Day.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.